Well, it's about that time for the news, according to me. Here I begin. It's Monday, 2:05 Eastern Standard Time in the afternoon, 14:05 for those of you in the military, because apparently you have on a 24-hour clock. The important things of today. You know, we got things going on all over the world. Sorry I wasn't here last Friday. Had a busy day. Friday evenings are always a little bit tricky in terms of getting a show out there for you. But at the moment, it would seem that there's a lot going on in the world. I just heard Joe Biden speak this afternoon here. He had a little speech a little bit ago. And I don't know if any of you have been to the Hall of Presidents at Disney World, Disneyland, whatever it is down there in Florida. Might be one over in California, too. I don't know. The Hall of Presidents. They have this big, long story about the birth of the country and the nation of, you know, how the president's presidency started and how it happened and all that stuff. Well, in the meantime, excuse me, they have these robots at the end. They're all animatronic. They call them animatronics. And they're all, you know, robots kind of moving around, talking. I guess Donald Trump's on there now. I didn't watch the whole thing recently. I haven't seen it. I haven't been down there. It's on video, too, as well as you can see it on YouTube. But if you just type in Hall of Presidents, Disney, Hall of Presidents, whatever. So I guess one year, there's a video somewhere out there of one of the presidents came apart. I think it might have been Lincoln. And I think he caught on fire or something. I don't know. It was pretty hilarious. I know he malfunctioned and had all kinds of issues and his arms were coming off or something. I don't know what he's doing, all kinds of stuff, and he fell over. Something. I don't know what it was all about. Yeah, I apologize for the noise. I'm in a hotel in the great state of Michigan right now, where they still don't have walk-in service in a lot of the restaurants. A lot of restaurants are still closed. Of course, not because of too much unemployment insurance. People are not going into work. I really get irritated. Like I was saying, Joe Biden made a speech and he was talking. Marino was talking about all the wonderful things they've done in their administration so far. How they've increased jobs at an alarming rate, more greater than anybody in 40 years. I get tired of that kind of crap because he's taking credit for something he's not doing. In fact, he's slowing it down. It should be greater than it is, and it's not. I mean, it's this government that took all of our jobs away, or that stopped all the jobs, shut everything down, is now taking credit for all the jobs coming back. Yeah, that's great. And yet there's businesses out there that can't find help. And they're having to work, like Steak and Shake. I've been to, I don't know how many states I've been to now where there's Steak and Shakes that are not, they're supposed to be open 24/7. A lot of them aren't even open all day on some days. They're only open certain times at certain hours of the day and only certain days of the week. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. And yet we have all these people who are out of work, supposedly this unemployment issue thing. So what is going on here? Well, you know what's going on. Anyway, it's government meddling in the economy, typical stuff. So we have this animatronic thing down here in Disney, and I looked at that. I saw it when I was a kid. The first time I saw it, I think I was 12 or 13 years old, maybe younger than that. I might have been 10. I don't know. So I watched this thing, and I was recalling that because to me it looked pretty realistic. I was amazed at all this little, and this is back, before computerized everything, computerized now. This stuff's all electromechanical. It's like a big Swiss watch up there running. And I was watching Joe Biden do his speech, and I happened to be reminded of that. That was totally out of my mind. And when I saw Joe Biden speaking, I was thinking, you know, this reminds me a lot of the Hall of Presidents. Except that the Hall of Presidents was a little bit more realistic. You know, Joe is basically staring at a teleprompter, trying to do his best to read it. And he's struggling with that. I don't know what to say about that. This has gotten to the point that I think, and then you get, Kamala standing behind him all the time. Now, as he's getting done, he tries to walk away from the podium. And he turns around and starts answering some questions. And you know he was doing it reluctantly. He didn't want to do it because they tell him not to do it. Because they're never quite sure what he's going to say. And he was answering some questions about what's going on in Israel and that kind of thing. And of course, now the gas issues are on the East Coast are still a problem. There's still a lot of caboose effect to what's going on out there. There's still a shortage. Just because the gas lines back up again doesn't mean that they are out of the woods yet. They're working their way out of the woods. So we have Kamala, standing behind him, which is kind of creepy. And the thing that's creepy about it to me is the look she has on her face all the time. She has this smirk that looks like she's about to burst out laugh in her cackling laugh, her weird, creepy laugh. But she is kind of looking at Joe as if this whole thing is just a joke. Like she's trying to laugh off something. And I don't understand that. I don't understand what's going on with that for sure. Everything about this seems creepy to me. And I don't know how to explain it. I just have a really creepy feeling about what's going on there. Now, in the meantime, the whole Israel thing. I heard somebody finally ask a question, and I've been asking the question. I guess I haven't said it on anything on the podcast here, but the one thing I've been asking about this whole Israel situation with Hamas and the Palestinians and from Gaza, they are launching. Now they're up into the thousands of rockets that they've launched out of there. Now these rockets are not cheap. I mean, they're cheap comparatively in with regard to rockets themselves. They're not smart rockets. They just launch them indiscriminately. They just hit out. And, of course, the Iron Dome system probably costs more money than those rockets that they're sending because they have to track and shoot those things out of the sky. Of course, then you still have debris falling out of the sky, which is a problem. It doesn't just go away. It'll just disappear. But they stop the trajectory and destroy the armament part of the thing, theoretically. So the question is, where is the money coming from paying for those rockets? Supposedly Gaza is this area where they're the poor and the oppressed, and yet they're able to shoot rockets into Israel indiscriminately, unprovoked. Some would say they're provoked all the time because they're trying to fight for their freedom. Israel gives them freedom. You can make an argument for both sides of this thing. If you're just constantly on one side of this issue, then I would question your. And I don't give Israel a blind pass. In any way, I don't think that they're just that everything that they do is correct and right. But if you want to look at who's doing what to whom. And talk about human rights. Israel, by far, treats its neighbors better than they get treated, including the whole Palestinian thing. so we have people now in the squad. This is where it's the radical leftists in the squad. The Muslims in Congress, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and what's the other gal's name? Well, then you've also got, you know, Kamala. I don't know if she's Christian or Muslim or what. That's here's a point that I want to make. And this is something that's been kind of on my mind for a long time. I never talk about this either. Let me finish my point there. My thought. The radical leftists in Congress are now coming against Biden, basically kind of almost speaking out against Biden, what Biden's stance on Israel. AOC is all upset about, you know, the Palestinians. She's on their side because she's brainless. And the others are also because they're just lockstep with each other. They've made comments and statements about Israel that are beyond the pale. And it's ridiculous. And you get the crazy wacko conspiracy theorists that are anti-Israel because they believe that they're controlling the entire world. Whatever. So we have this that kind of an issue going on, and it's causing division, of course, now because of the stances that they're each taking. Here's a comment. I don't believe I've ever talked about this on the show. Maybe if I have, it's worth saying again. Barack Obama was raised a Muslim. He was raised in a Muslim school. I believe in Jakarta or in Indonesia. I don't know where it was. Kenya, maybe? I don't know. So he was raised a Muslim. He still spoke very fondly of the Muslim faith, of Islam, even all throughout his presidency. He would do that. Now, there's some questions here. He claims to be a Christian now. At least to be, as a president, he was claiming to be a Christian. He attended the Reverend Wright's Church, which actually is not a mainline denominational Christian church. It's they are kind of a, I would call it a universalist church. They believe there's room for all faiths in their church. Now, there's room for all faiths in our country. However, a church... There's a lot of diametrically opposed philosophical foundational things between Islam, Christianity, and some others, Hinduism, that kind of thing. And as far as I know, there's no picture of Barack Obama ever being baptized. I've never seen a testimony of why he decided to change from Islam to Christianity. Most individuals who have switched from Islam to being a messianic believer, almost all of them that I know, and most of them that you'll ever talk to, have usually a pretty radical experience. It's a pretty... strong, serious testimony of what changed their heart and mind to come to Christ. Has anyone heard the testimony of Barack Obama? I doubt it. I have searched high and low. I cannot find a confession of faith, a service of baptism, a church membership confession of any kind, or a testimony of how he came to Christ. He was not raised in a Christian church. There are a lot of people who've been raised in a Christian church who don't have, their testimony is, well, I was raised in a Christian family and I became a Christian when I always kind of was raised a believer, and they just kind of grew into it. They don't have a real radical change. There's nothing there really, as far as, not that it's insignificant, it's just that there wasn't a huge switch or change in their mentality or their heart or their way of thinking. When a person goes from Islam to Judaic Christian beliefs, it's usually a pretty radical change. There's usually something very major going on there. And we've never heard that. And there's probably good reason for that. Now, I'm not here to, judge the guy, say that his faith is fake or phony, but I do have the right to question it. So I will. No, I want to know, is this guy legitimate or not? I don't know. So you got that going on. Now, by the way, this evening's, this is going to be this evening's show. This is, I tried to do a show this morning, and I was having some technical difficulties here, and I was unable to put a show together. So needless to say, there was no show, this morning. And I'm going to try to get out a show a day on Monday through Wednesday. It will be a little bit difficult. Wednesday mornings, the rest of this month, the rest of this month, after this Wednesday, looks like I probably will be able to get shows done twice a day again, back on the regular schedule, as things continue to move forward. But one thing I want to talk about is Liz Cheney, because this has been in the news, and it's been kind of the ongoing saga on the GOP side. And there's a lot of questions that come to my mind that nobody seems to be talking about or asking. You know, she made this big deal about the election and how Donald Trump was dangerous and incited the events on January 6th. This supposedly what they call an insurrection. That he has not accepted the results of the election, and the election, she wants the entire GOP to come out and say that the election was legitimate, fair, and there was no hanky-panky, nothing wrong with it. Joe Biden was a legitimate president. He won by a landslide. More votes than any other president ever in the world. More people voted in this election than ever has ever voted ever in the country. He got more votes than Barack Obama. He got fewer, a lower percentage of the black vote, by the way, than Barack Obama. But he still won. Oh, and he also got a lower percentage of the female vote than Barack Obama. Oh, he also got a lower percentage than the Mexican Latino population than Barack Obama, which only leaves one group that voted for him. All the white supremacists in the country apparently voted for him. So let's leave it at that. And we've covered all this stuff, and I know the one thing that we haven't talked about yet is what is in my cup. It is sweet tea. Sweet tea is in my cup today. It wasn't earlier this morning when I tried to do a show this morning. It was actually orange juice. Actually, I got some orange juice from the little breakfast bar downstairs. However, onward and upward here. We got Liz Cheney, and she comes out with this whole thing about the big lie. Oh, it's the big lie. The big lie that the election was stolen. She's calling that the big lie. And I don't know, apparently she's not paying any attention to what's going on out in Maricopa County, which is a state very close to her state, closer to her state. With this whole thing, and I have to continually keep asking the question, why are they not wanting to get this behind them? Why do they keep blocking everything? Why do they keep erasing things off of hard drives? Why do they keep trying to withhold information and materials? Why do they keep trying to stop this thing? There's a lot going on behind the scenes with that whole Maricopa County audit thing. They're finding things. They're finding major issues out there, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to present this. This is where they're at. They're stuck because now they have this huge thing that they have to try to present to the American people. And if this continues to happen in state after state, which they're going to try to continue to do, they're going to try to hit Michigan and Wisconsin, probably Nevada, as well as Pennsylvania and Atlanta, well, Georgia. There were some serious issues, folks. And for us to just continue to sweep it under the rug and act like it didn't happen is absolutely insanity. And Liz Cheney just wants us to forget about it. It was the big lie. Well, here's a big lie. She's the daughter, by the way, of Dick Cheney, his vice president. Now, my understanding is, I won't talk about her orientation issues, but she was basically the GOP chair. In other words, the party chair, an elected official issue. They are elected by the people in the party. It wields a lot of power. So it wasn't like she was in the Congress. It's not a congressional seat. It's a party seat. Almost kind of like, what's her name? We got booted out. She's still out there somewhere. The whole Bernie Sanders thing. The problem that we run into with Liz Cheney is that she keeps talking about this big lie. I don't hear very many people throwing back in her face that the real big lie that caused people to die, some of our best and brightest and the best of our young people in our country, thousands of people died because we went into Iraq. It's very questionable how all that was handled. Now, I know of several pastors, I just learned of a new one this last week, who wrote to the president, and I happen to know that some of those letters actually got to the president, that he actually saw them himself, he read them himself. And supposedly these pastors said that because some of these letters were at the prayer breakfast, the national prayer breakfast, before we went into Iraq. And they were saying, do not go into Iraq. It will be a long, difficult slog. And it will be very hard to get back out. Here we are 20 years later, almost. And still struggling over when we're going to pull out of there. And it probably has messed up things worse than it was before. Now, you have to remember, Saddam Hussein was someone we put into power over there. The CIA was behind all that. Because of our meddling in so many ways. And it's disheartening. It's a little frustrating. Afghanistan is another issue, but that's a little bit more understandable and justified because of what was going on with the way the Taliban was supporting the terrorist camps that were over there. A little bit different of a story. But I digress. This issue of her talking about the lie, and yet the, you know, there were weapons of mass destruction, don't get me wrong, in Iraq, but not the kind of weapons of mass destruction we were told there were there. And, you know, the whether they pulled them all out or not, but we never found that cache, that cache of weapons that we were told that we went into Iraq for. We know he had them because he used them once on his own people, on the Kurds. He wouldn't really consider the Kurds his own people. Saddam wouldn't. So we have, you know, and so Liz Cheney's dad was a big part of that. She is connected in a big way to the military-industrial complex. Now, in some ways, the military-industrial complex is not necessarily an evil thing. It's just the problem is it is a huge lobby. It spends a lot of money. And it throws a lot of money around with government black bag funding and everything else that's going on there. There's a lot of corruption within all the things that are going on there. We need the military-industrial complex. The problem is that the corruption that's behind it and the way that politicians attach themselves to it. There is very little accountability in many ways with the things that are going on there with our elected officials, which is why they stand up and want to go to war all the time, because we spend more money. The military-industrial complex individuals, Halliburton, all those companies, they get more money. There are things that Halliburton does that nobody else can do. I mean, in terms of building things and doing things, they have some heavy lifting equipment. There's very few people on the planet that can do the kind of things they can do. However, and that's why they win so many contracts. It's just, you know, to have that kind of manpower, that kind of facility, takes a huge investment, and it's, you know, they've already got it. Now, as far as what's going on there, there's just a lot of money that flows. And when that money flows, it tends to get back into people's campaigns. And, of course, that also ends up being conflict of interest, in my opinion. So that's what I'm going to say about that. Now, let's shift to the border. What's going on there? The border is still a mess, and there's been enough other things in the news lately, and they love it when this happens. So many other things going on in the news that take away from the border issue. But the border issue has not gone away. It just isn't on the forefront of the news, and the legacy media groups are not reporting anything because that they don't want to. Makes Biden look bad. Now, again, Biden's 4 months in to his administration. You think he's going to make it 4 years? No, he will not. I don't think he's going to make it another 4 months. But what we have waiting in the wings is Kamala. And it's almost creepy the way she stands behind him. Like she's, as soon as he drops over, she's ready to jump in and finish the sentence. It's just creepy. And I tell you, she is a worse communicator than Joe is. She is potentially the biggest phony I've ever seen in Congress or in government elected official position. I guess she was in the Senate. And I just have not seen a less genuine individual. That's the only way I know to put it. Phony. She's just a phony. And the way she talks says it all to me. I can just hear it in her voice. It's a very troublesome issue, because now, you know, when Joe steps out, she's probably going to be put in, and she will be hailed as this, you know, groundbreaking, glass ceiling breaking person. And you know what happened when we had the last person on the left was a groundbreaking, ceiling breaking person. Things got worse. Racial tensions didn't get calmed things didn't get better. They got worse. Look at the racial divide we have now. We had a situation where we had a president who could have really brought about a lot of healing in our country. Moved us forward, and he moved us backwards. And then we had President Trump step in, and they called him a racist and said everything was going to go crazy. Oh, the stock market's going to crash. This is going to crash. The economy's going to go bad. We're going to have gas shortage. We're going to all these problems that we're going to have. We're going to be in wars, all this kind of stuff. What's happening now? 4 months in. I just recently saw it was a Prager University, or no, it wasn't Prager University, it was a college campus something reform, I think campus reform. They had an interesting interview with some students on campuses, and they were saying, who's to blame for the border issue right now? They were talking about the border mostly, and everything that was going on with the border, and the students were blaming Trump. It was the Trump administration that caused all those border problems. Because he was there for 4 years, and Biden hasn't been there long enough to make these kinds of changes, to cause this kind of a problem. This problem must have started under Trump. It was Trump's policies. So when they actually tell them how the policies have changed since Biden took office, and the things that Biden had said, they quoted him saying things like, we have to surge the border, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to promise these people this and that, making all these statements. And the Homeland Security Secretary, things that he said. And then they said, now, who do you think is responsible for what's going on at the border? Why are these people coming in here? Well, they reluctantly were able to admit that it's probably Biden, but they don't think that Trump's policies were any good either. So, I'll give them some of that. I mean, some of them did possibly, just some of them just turned around totally the other way and said, oh, yeah, I guess maybe we need to go back to the Trump policies then. Because they explained the policies of both of them and what was going on. And there were some smart ones there, smart enough to know that, okay, yeah, we didn't have this problem until a few, basically right before. Well, Biden was already talking about his policies before he even took office. So right at the end of the Trump administration, the border was already, the caravans were already starting to come in, wearing Biden t-shirts that they got from somewhere. Probably the Biden-Harris administration or the Democrat Party or Rasa or something, I don't know. So the border is an issue. It's still an issue. And there's still an atrocity going on down there. And when we talked about, they asked the students questions about having a cap on immigration, and the students said, well, they wouldn't give a number. How many people should we allow in a year? I think right now we cap at 1.1 million legal immigrants per year. 1.1 million, which is about the size of a city like Chicago every year coming into the country legally. And they basically, of course, the Democrats never talk about that. They just want people to just want to open up the border and let anybody come in. Let them all in. Who cares who they are, what their intentions are? So we have that going on, and The students, I'm sure, aren't aware. They just think that we're going to close down the border and not let anybody in. That's not the case. So those kinds of things, the GOP needs to get their act together and start educating people better with that kind of stuff. And also, the one big announcement that came out this last week was the CDC announcement about the masks. Biden's speech today gave a lot of confusing information about, if you've been vaccinated, basically you're actually better protected than you are wearing a mask. I'm sure Fauci was cringing in his, probably what he was saying, but so apparently they're pushing really hard right now to get the mask mandate thing off the table and away from everybody and try to open up the country again with, well, if you get vaccinated, you can take your mask off. And of course, now we have to prove who has a mask or who has a vaccination and who doesn't, which is a whole other ball of wax. And I'll be talking about that in tomorrow may not be a show because I had a long day and it's going to be late. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for sharing and subscribing. Being a part of this whole thing. I appreciate it. Have a great day, everybody. Have a good night. God bless. the bass.